Hey everybody, it's Brooklyn Longuero. Welcome back to season 2, episode 5 of the AMA Way. Today I'm joined by my co-hosts, Estrella and Julia.
Hello.
Hello everyone.
Hey guys, this week we are so lucky to have a guest who's not just running a company, she's redefining how marketing is used for social good. She's the president and co-founder of Puzzle Pieces Marketing, a bold and creative agency helping nonprofits and mission-driven businesses to make a real impact. Let's get into it. Welcome to the pod, Angel Mason Broaddus.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Did you want to tell us a little bit about yourself to let the viewers know as well? Because I know none of them have met you yet.
Sure. As you already said, my name is Angel Mason Broaddus. I'm the president and founder of Puzzle Pieces Marketing. We are a creative and colorful Black-owned, women-owned, LGBTQ-owned, and veteran-owned marketing and branding agency for nonprofits and mission-driven businesses. And we work to amplify the social impact of nonprofits and brands doing good work in the community. And I'm happy to be here today.
Thanks for coming.
Did you say veteran owned as well?
That's right. I'm a Navy veteran.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Checking all the categories exactly. Here when, like, with the way you're run. Boom, I was like, whoa.
Boom. Yes.
Well, I think it's on your boxes. Website. I was just about to say we check all the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Well, it's really great to have you here today.
Thank you.
I was just curious to get us started in a question. For PR and nonprofits, what do you think one of the biggest challenges you face in the day-to-day world, like in this century, is?
Well, I'm going to speak from personal experience, if you'll allow me. I think the biggest challenge that we face, Puzzle Pieces Marketing, like I said, I'm going to speak personally, is being a Black women LGBTQ-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that oftentimes we are faced with certain challenges that we don't see our peers face. Mm-hmm. I believe that we don't always get the same exposure, the same respect, and the same... I think people just don't give us the same level of credibility, and it's really unfortunate because I think we do fabulous work, if I have to pat myself on the back. But it's just a challenge that I think we face, and we just overcome it by letting the work speak for itself.
Yeah. Is there other ways you try to overcome it? Like, do you push yourself in marketing more or, like, on social media more, or do you just allow people to choose when they're going to come to you?
One of the ways that we address it, I think, is just by being very authentic. If you look at our social media, we are who we are, and we're perfectly okay with that. If you choose not to work with us, that's fine. I know that I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and I'm okay with that. So we just try to be very authentic and try to share as much about who we are so people get the opportunity to choose. But, you know, we've been in business for 15 and a half years, so we also get to choose our clients. So if they don't want to work with us, that's perfectly fine with us.
Yeah, I respect that. With that being said, have you ever had to make a decision between profit and purpose, and how you navigated that?
Unfortunately, we often have to do that. Like I said, we work with nonprofits and mission-driven businesses, so we lead with our values. If it's a organization or a project that we feel is not aligned with our values or our mission, we graciously decline to take the business. I believe all money is not good money, so I'm okay with turning down business if it's not aligned with who we are. We make sure that we lead with our values. And I think that's especially important for the work that we do, because I think our clients also look to us to see that we are standing in our values and we're standing in our purpose. And I think it would potentially damage our credibility and do harm to our brand if we decided that we would work with organizations that weren't fully aligned with who we are.
100%. That's powerful.
Yeah. And like many companies hesitate to take these stands on social issues and like speak their voice because it's so controversial these days.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the word that has to be used because while they may not be actually controversial topics, you know, our society has kind of turned them into that. So does cancel culture affect the way that like brands and nonprofits market themselves? And like, do you think that's like good or bad thing, or like how do you feel like that works
cancel
in with
culture.
your
you know what we mean, like
go ahead.
I was gonna explain it to a little bit more, but you're good if you understand.
I'm gonna say I'm a full believer and supporter of cancel culture.
Okay, she knows.
I was like, is this about to get controversial in here? I was like,
are we about to get canceled?
Sorry,
maybe
we have to ask the real question.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in cancel culture. I think that consumers and donors have the right to choose how they spend their money and what causes they donate to and what causes they support. I think if you're authentic and genuine in how you approach social impact and social issues and you integrate it into your mission and your business practices in a genuine way, then you don't have to worry about being canceled. If you operate with integrity and you do so authentically, then just stand in your truth. So you don't have to worry about being canceled again if you operate with integrity. So mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in allowing people to choose how they want to spend their money.
I love that. I was mm-hmm. posed with the question the other day, would you take a business deal that was completely against your morals if it was for like $1 million? And it was one, I think you might've been there. Someone was there, but I sat there for a minute and I let it ponder in my head because I was like, obviously all of us are money hungry. That's kind of what is our motivator. I'm going to be honest. That's my motivator personally, money. But I was thinking about it and I was like, oh my gosh, it was in one of my classes. We were in like a seminar. That's what it was. And one of the arguments someone had was if his family was broke, no money, homeless, unwell, and he got posed with an opportunity to make him $1 million, but it was completely against his morals, he would take it to benefit others. Is that something that, I mean, I'm going to put the question to you now, is if that was the situation you were in, morally, would you decide to do it to benefit others, even if it's not 100% aligning with your values?
Well, first, I'm going to start with saying I'm grateful that I'm not in that position.
Yes, 100%.
I'm grateful that I'm in the position where I get to choose, but I'm not going to pass judgment either. Mm-hmm. I've been a new business owner, and I've been in a place where I had to pay my mortgage. I had bills mm-hmm. I had to pay, and I took clients that weren't necessarily 100% aligned with who we were. I've never taken business that was complete opposite, thankfully, mm-hmm. So I don't have that issue. But, of course, I think everybody has to make a decision that they think is best for them. And I'm not going to pass judgment on others because I know that, again, I have bills that I have to pay too. Mm-hmm. And I'm just mm-hmm. fortunate enough that we are now, after 15 years and being in business, that we have the opportunity to decide who we work with and what projects we take on. And I don't have to compromise my values for money. I think that my motivation is, and what we really want Puzzle Pieces Marketing to be known for, is not just the incredible work that we do, but also the voices that we help to amplify of underrepresented communities. And that's through our partnerships with the nonprofits and mission-driven businesses. So if we make some money along the way, that's great. But ultimately, we really want to be known for the impact that we make in the nonprofit community and small business community.
I love that. Yeah.
And how do you think, you know, young professionals like us and people going into the industry, like, maybe should navigate how, you know, we assess our values with what kind of company we work with? Because it's just, you know, the job market is scarce mm-hmm. and it's ridiculous, like even to get an internship. So do you have any advice on like how we should navigate our morals and like if, you know, we get a good job opportunity, what to do?
Well, this is something that we give our interns and people that we mentor, the same advice that you have to look at your priorities. If you want to prioritize financial stability, then you're more likely to take a position that may not be 100% aligned with their values. And like I said, I'm not judging. I understand that people have bills they have to pay. They have to have a roof over their head and, you know, they have to put food in their bellies. But I think ultimately, when you are in a position to be able to select a company that you want to work with that is more aligned with your values, I think it's going to give you a greater sense of purpose and mm-hmm. you probably will feel more fulfilled at the end of the day in the work that you do. But again, if you're just starting out, sometimes you have to take the positions that are there and what's available to you. And then you, as you gather experience and you get more mature, then you put yourself in a position to be able to make those selections. But you can't do that if you don't already have the experience.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Okay, moving topics. I remember our Zoom call we had a couple months ago, I think. But you were talking to me about your previous experience before opening your business. And I kind of wanted to touch on that for the students that are in the state where they're not sure exactly what they want to do and they might go into the wrong career path and then find something else they love. I kind of wanted to hear your story in that.
I don't think that, and I'm going to challenge you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is a wrong career path because
mm-hmm.
People could say the same about me. I come from healthcare, but I realized it wasn't the right fit for me mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. I matured. I thought that I could work in the hospital and I could cure everyone. And you realize that's certainly, I was naive in thinking that. And I'm the one that takes my work home And when you lose patience, you realize, okay, maybe this is not the best fit for my personality, for someone who gets emotionally attached to their
work.
That's
tough.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very tough. And so when I left clinical practice, when I left healthcare and working in the hospitals, I decided to try to figure out what I wanted to do, and I started teaching. And so the education that I had and the experience that I had did not go to waste, because I started teaching pharmacy techs at United Education Institute. So obviously building on the experience that I had in healthcare. And then when I left that position, I actually left that position by accident. I left my...
Oops. I'm sorry, defined by accident. What was the accident?
Great question. When I found my teaching position, I made the error of not taking my resume offline. And so the company that I ended up interviewing for found me, even though I was still employed and I was very happy in the work that mm-hmm. I was doing. But I said, well, what do I have to lose? I mean, I have a job that I love. Mm-hmm. They're going to call me in for this interview. If I get the position, I have a decision to make. And if I don't get the position, I'm perfectly fine where I am. So there mm-hmm. was nothing for me to lose. So I took a chance. And that's another piece of advice that I usually give our interns and students is, if an opportunity presents itself, especially one that you may not ever get again, you should probably seriously consider jumping at it. And that's what I did. And that's how I started in marketing. I don't have a degree in marketing. My bachelor's degree is in pharmaceutical sciences, and my master's degree is in healthcare administration. And here I am owning this marketing company. And you would also think that with my wife and my business partner, Christine, you would also think, because she comes from healthcare as well, she's a respiratory therapist for peds and neonates, you would think that we would work with either healthcare companies mm-hmm. or medical device companies, because that's how I got my experience, most of my experience in marketing. But if you go past our experience and past our education, the lessons that we were taught growing up, my parents taught me you don't live on this earth for free. The price you pay is to give back to your community. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want our marketing agency to be, is an agency that's known for giving back to the community, for doing good for the community. And so that's why we choose to work with nonprofit organizations.
That's lovely.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm like, wow, okay.
And
I'm
going to sink all that in. She just shares the features of a humanitarian, I think, through, like, the healthcare, through your second job, through this. I feel like at your core, you really do care about people, and that reflects in your work.
Yeah, and I think that all the struggles you face in society is their fault, and none of it's your fault. Because I look into, like, my future, and I just know that everything is so controversial. And some things I've asked other speakers or other chats I've had is, as a woman going into the workforce that is prominently dominated by males, it is terrifying. I want to be able to excel. I want to be as successful as possible, but I know I'm going to have to fight the men to get there in certain companies, not all companies, but it scares me. And I just was wondering if you had any advice to get past the fear of it and more get excited about it. Like, how could I be excited for that experience and not terrified for my life?
I'm not going to tell you not to be terrified.
I am a little bit.
Because I'm terrified for my life every day. Yeah. No, seriously, I think the best thing to do is to continue showing up. You never know. You might be the face that somebody else is waiting to see. So in a male-dominated industry, you may not be the first. You may not be the last. But hopefully, if you are one of the first, you're able to open a door for someone else. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that none of us got here on our own work and our own merit. There was always somebody that either lended a hand, opened a door, or extended some grace to us to get us there. And so I think that if you think about it being a bigger than yourself, I know it's terrifying, but there's always someone there that can help mentor you. It may not be another person that looks like you. It may not be another woman, but hopefully there are men in the industry that are willing to lend a helping hand. And that's something that I found in my first position is I got in there and I realized I didn't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with somebody with no marketing experience, no degree in marketing, I knew that there was a lot for me to learn, and I wasn't afraid to ask questions. I wasn't afraid to admit that there were things that I didn't know. And I think that that's something that's important too, is to constantly be learning. So yeah, have fear. I think fear also is a motivator.
Yeah.
But don't let the fear stifle you. Don't let it prevent you from jumping opportunities that may not present themselves again if you're too afraid to take the chance.
Yeah, I've definitely missed out on opportunities out of fear, and that's something that I think we all try to work on day by day, but sometimes it's hard. But
it's interesting when you get to now and you see yourself in real time and you're like, you have two options here.
Yeah, seriously.
Are you still in contact with, you know, that person maybe who really like mentored and guided you through this process?
Absolutely. He became a client.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
I love it.
He became a client. Shout out to you, Tom Bank. Thank you so much for giving me my first position in marketing. Aww. He was our vice president of marketing at the time, and he ultimately became a client of ours.
Oh.
He's no longer working with us just because he's moved on and is doing some other things. But yeah, we stay in contact.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think mentors are like our best bet. I mean, every single guest we've had on the podcast has said mentor. Like at one
mentor,
point.
Mentor.
And I'm like, yeah, but where do you suggest finding these mentors or how to reach out to these mentors to allow them to?
Did you find your mentor or did your mentor find you?
That's a good question.
Well, he interviewed me, so I think he found me. but I have a mentorship group now, though. It's a group of ladies that I found through some of the nonprofit work that we do, a North County Philanthropy Council. I sat on their board of directors for 11 years, and they have a mentorship program.
Yes, I saw that.
An incredible program. It was not a traditional mentor-mentee. It's a group of six women. We get together on a monthly basis, and we decided how often we want to get together. And it's nice because it gives us the opportunity to ask questions of each other, to share things that are going well, share things that we have challenges, our personal, professional life, volunteer service that we do. And we really just take time to support each other wherever we are and to meet each other where we are. And I can't say enough how valuable it is. I think that you can find a mentor anywhere. It doesn't have to be somebody that is further along in their career. The three of you could mentor each other. Mm-hmm. You all have lived different lived experiences. You may have a different perspective on how you see things. So I don't necessarily think that you have to find somebody who's further along in their career than you are, as long as it's someone that whose opinions you trust and who's willing to give you the time.
Yeah, I think communication with anyone is our knowledge, and hearing stories is our knowledge, and hearing what other people have been through is what makes us smarter people, because we learn to navigate our lives because of other people's experiences. And I think that's awesome, and that's why it's awesome having you here, because we get to hear your story and how you became so successful, and then we get to think about how we're going to take from that and do the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's really nice. Sorry, Estrella.
No, sorry. I was just like, to add to that, my friend was just at a case study and she said it was more like a motivational like speech sort of thing.
Mm.
But to hear her talk about having that group of support and how important that is, especially when you're growing into a career, he let them know. He was like, make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that you believe are supporting you, that are like-minded, that share values at your core. And if not, he said, cut those bleeps off. And that's been sitting with me.
I think like the AMA is where I see that. Mm-hmm. You're meeting three of us, but there are like 250 of us.
There's like an army.
And every single person I talk to has morals, has goals. And that was so hard for me to find my first 2 years of college. I mean, I didn't have morals. I don't think.
Or goals.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what I was doing. But now I'm here. And
honestly,
I'm like,
I don't even remember my first 2 years of
college. And it's SDSU, so obviously it gets a little crazy. But going into my third year, I was like, okay, I'm going to figure out me, and I'm going to figure out what I need, and I'm going to figure out what I need to do for my career. And joining the American Marketing Association and having my peers also be as motivated as I am to be successful has been like the best thing I could have ever asked for, to be completely honest, because it really locked me in. It was like, oh, okay, everyone's looking for internships right now. Okay, I need to open my computer and hop on LinkedIn and do
right
all
now
that.
Like, and make some connections.
Yes, exactly.
Yesterday.
I just appreciate you saying mentorship is like, could be your peers, because honestly, now that I think about it, it definitely is my peers, because they are
social nurturing.
Exactly.
Truly.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And then what I was going to say was like, especially, you know, seeing such a powerful woman of color in this industry is like really inspiring, especially, you know, as one myself and Estrella
and I'm just here.
Brooklyn's here, but we love her anyway. But
to our ally,
it's scary because, like you said, like sometimes you're not taken seriously, and like as you said, being part of the LGBTQIA+ community, like you know, and that rise, and like why, you know, the world would give less respect to individuals, you know, part of these communities, is honestly insane to me. But, you know, I saw that you're really deeply involved in DEI efforts. And I was just kind of wondering, like, what do you see the biggest challenge is in achieving true diversity and inclusion in business and marketing today?
I think going beyond the surface level work and being authentic. We see that there are organizations that truly do integrate DEI and social impact into their mission and everything that they do, where there are others who do so because they think it looks good and it sounds good and it's performative activism. And I think that it's easy to identify the ones that are doing it correctly versus the ones who are not. And we're seeing a lot of that now, I have to say. And I won't mention any organizations or companies by name, but the people have their foot on those organizations' necks, and I love that for them. They are going through some things. And so I think that's the biggest challenge, is having companies actually integrate it in an authentic way and being genuine about it, and not doing so just when there's a crisis like 2020 or when there is an event or a month like Black History Month, but integrating that year round.
And because why celebrate once?
Right. It's a continuous dedication.
Absolutely. 100%.
If you're committed to doing the work, you should be committed to doing it year round and having it completely integrated into everything that you do as an organization and go beyond the surface level work. And so I think that that is the biggest challenge, is having people do it genuinely and sticking to it when it gets tough.
Have you struggled in doing so? Do you feel like
personally?
Yes.
In my business? Absolutely not.
No.
Good.
Absolutely not. No, I have not. If you go to our website, you see it from the very beginning. Who we
it's
are.
It's a great website. I loved exploring it, honestly.
Your website's beautiful. Your email thread is beautiful. Just so
you're
know,
looking
just
great. Like, God, it's just an all around.
They check all the boxes.
Exactly. I was going to ask, speaking of DEI and how companies don't fully incorporate it, how do you suggest us as consumers pick out those companies? Because I know personally I choose to shop at companies that are with those morals, but as a consumer, it's hard for me to tell if they're actually a part of it or if they're just doing it so I shop there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the exact limbo they want to leave you in sometimes, too.
Exactly. I do think that that is the limbo that they want to keep you in, but I think right now it's becoming a little bit more evident to see those that are rolling back their DEI initiatives versus ones that are sticking to it. It takes work trying to make sure that you've identified. But look at their websites. Look at how they brand. Look at who they include in their marketing materials. Look at the organizations that they support, who they donate to. There are definitely ways that you can figure it out without them just coming out and saying it. And they should be very visible. They should be very vocal about it if they're supporting LGBTQ plus organizations and communities. Are they no longer participating in certain things? Do they have a diversity in who they are? Again, I'm not going to say anyone's company by name, but in their branding, is it diverse? Is it diverse in the different small businesses that they support? So just it requires work and actually doing the work to figure it out. But if you want to be very intentional, then obviously you want to do the work. And I love shopping. So
I mean, personally, I've worked for I haven't worked for a company, but I've been in the retail world. So I've seen all the companies, and I know of a few companies that didn't have a single model that was of other than white. And I think that was happening up until like 2020 COVID era. And then all of a sudden, every single company is like putting people that are overweight in their advertising campaigns, putting people of color in
there. Suddenly now we want to be inclusive.
It seemed almost like a little pity throw. Like, we need more people to shop with us. Let me do this. And personally,
let me just throw someone who has been typically
not included.
Put aside.
Yeah, exactly. And I was working at American Eagle. I can say their name because we do incorporate a lot of DEI into our company. I've been a part of that company for a while, and I just really appreciate them for that. But as being in retail and seeing the other brands doing that, I think out of anything, it just pissed me off. I'm going to be so honest. I know I'm white, guys, I know, but it just...
Hey.
As, like, a full supporter and just all of that, I was like, this is not okay, because it was very much to get revenue. It was not to include. It was,
well, that's an authenticity radar.
Exactly.
That's not probably because you're white. Just, like, that's just because you're aware.
Yeah, and I think it's really frustrating
to see. And also I was more aware because I was in the world of retail and got to see it firsthand. So obviously I was like, oh, that's that's interesting. But I just wanted to touch on that so our viewers can also see that and maybe go look around at the retail companies and look at what it was before 2020 and then look at after and see what the comparison is. Because that's honestly the timestamp when everything started picking up into false DEI.
Yeah, absolutely.
With these wretched DEI initiatives in order, what would you say? I'm a woman of color. I'm a young woman of color. I know when I walk into a room and I may feel intimidated or whatever the situation is, I make sure I hold my head up 10 times higher just because. But how do you start to gain that confidence and navigate those fears? And what would you say, especially going into this world, how do you stay away from that fear? Because I don't really think we have time for it anymore.
We absolutely don't have time for it. I think we're living in a different time. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. My parents were born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama during the civil rights movement. Them putting themselves in positions where they weren't wanted carried a different type of consequence than the consequence that we have and just not being wanted or being, you know, ostracized. And that's something that motivates me as I think about my ancestors, what they did and what they had to go through in order to put themselves out there and in difficult situations. I don't have to face anything remotely like that. Yeah. The least I can do is to show up and to carry myself in a way that's going to make them proud. So that's how I kind of overcome my fears. I'm very shy, actually. So me even being here today is overcoming a fear.
And you're doing great.
You really are.
And I... you know, and I am out there in the community, and obviously it's one way that we enter, you know, we get involved in the nonprofit community and how we market our business, and I continuously show up. Part of it's also because I'm petty, and I know if somebody doesn't want me there.
No, that's too real.
Yeah, if you don't want me there, I'm going to be there even
you
more
so. You will see my face.
Clip that.
Yeah.
You don't want me, I'm there.
That's right. Really? I'm going to wear the highest heels that I have and my hair as big as I can. So
she's going to wear the coolest shoes, coolest glasses.
And I think that is amazing. And that's what people really need to dig into is just taking the step and just feeling so uncomfortable to excel yourself in your life. I mean, even this for like me in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to be on a podcast all semester. I was like, okay. And then I got here and I was like, okay, we can do this. And I think that's something that will stick with me. And I appreciate you for saying, because sometimes you really do just have to push yourself over those fears.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like you saying you pull it straight from the ancestors, because that really is how it be sometimes.
But honestly, like really getting deep. Yeah. I was like, wait, maybe I should like
sometimes I'm like, some people had to cross rivers and move mountains.
Me
and
with
I
my
am
car.
Just at San Diego State University in 2025.
Yeah. Complaining. Like,
that's right. These people had no shoes.
They had to walk uphill both ways.
I feel like that's a big part of your branding as well, like your authenticity, and even in your website as well. I just like, I don't see a lot of things like that, even like the pops of color, and I just feel like there was a lot of thought put
every
into that.
Move
like
is bold and meticulous.
Yeah, like everything is, you can tell everything has a purpose, like where it is in the website, how it's formed. What advice do you have for students to build that kind of personal brand now? And like, do you have a, you know, strategy to that you used for your own business?
Yeah, actually coming from corporate America, it was not something that came easily for me. We were taught to, well, I shouldn't say we were taught. It was a choice as well, but you're kind of put in a box. You're not really meant to stand out. It's just you're like, you need to kind of go along with it and you're like everyone else. But then when we made our own, when Puzzle Pieces Marketing, we made our own, we also want to be able to attract this the right kind of business. So if you're not a supporter of the LGBTQ community, if you're not a supporter of Black-owned businesses, if you are not a supporter of women-owned businesses, we want to put it in your face. That's who we are from the very beginning. Because if you don't make it past the first scroll, I'm perfectly okay with that. If you self-eliminate. So that's one of the things that I feel we do is, and that's the example that we set, is you want people to self-deselect or self-disengage from you if they don't support you or your community. You may not have to make that decision for them. If you put it out and you're very genuine and you're authentic of who you are, let other people decide that you're not for them. And I'm okay because I know that I'm not for everyone, and I'm perfectly okay with that. So that's something that I feel like you said, our website is very intentional. Even if you go to our Black-owned page, it starts mm-hmm. with the Black-owned, and then it goes to the LGBTQ section, and then mm-hmm. it's the women's section, and then it's down to the veterans at mm-hmm. the bottom. Mm-hmm. Not that my veteran service is any less than all those other things, but some people may want to work with a veteran-owned company, mm-hmm. and that's what they prioritize. Mm-hmm. But you have to get past all that other stuff first to even figure yeah. out that we're veteran-owned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if that is something that is a non-starter for them, the veteran part, we don't care if you want to work with a veteran-owned business. You have to want to work with all those other things as well.
As a yeah. whole.
I've right, never thought of it in that way, of you being like, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. Now decide.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I think that's
the perfect
awesome.
Amount of audacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we are. And even if you go to our contact page and you have to scroll to get to the contact form, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the last thing we hit them with is a cartoon of the two of us. So if you missed all the other stuff, we're going to hit you with it again. Yeah. This is who we are. And
just
are
in case.
Sure? Yeah. Just in case you missed it. This is who you want to work with, right?
Yeah.
Before you have to click that button to get in contact mm-hmm. with us. And I'm okay. You know, in marketing, they typically say, don't make your clients, potential clients, jump through a lot of hurdles to get to contact you.
Why not?
Right. If they have to jump through a lot of hurdles, that means they have decided, they yeah. made a conscious decision that they want to work with us.
Mm-hmm.
They want.
Because then you're just going to be getting all these people and then have to turn them away because you're like, they don't align with
your
morals.
Why are you here?
Like, you really just set it up for them. Like, here's this. You mm-hmm. can choose. I don't want to know if you're saying no. I don't want to. I only want to know if you're saying yes. Don't
like,
talk
don't
to me.
Don't bother me.
If you don't care.
Exactly. Well,
how often do you get a client that doesn't align with your values then? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
We don't get clients because they don't turn into clients if we don't align with our values. We do get potentials, mm-hmm. and, you know, it happens on occasion, mm-hmm. and, you know, we have to be very strategic, like I said, and very intentional, and, you know, we'll opt out of not submitting a proposal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people think they are aligned because of who they serve, but how they serve them may mm-hmm. not be aligned.
Mm-hmm. With how you guys do.
With how we, what we were support yeah. or what we're, you know.
It's like actions speaking louder than words.
Yeah. And yeah. you know, if you, mm-hmm. for instance, if you are an organization that supports women and children, or if you're an organization, for instance, if you're an organization that's trying to do good for our unhoused community members, but how you're doing it I think is unethical. Yeah, we do have a similar target mm-hmm. audience and similar mm-hmm. values, but if the way you're addressing the issue is not aligned with our values, then you might not be a good fit.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, initially they might think that they're a good fit for us because they work with our unhoused community. Mm-hmm. But
and then mm-hmm. you like read into it and you're like, maybe not.
Right.
Well, since we're coming to an end, I'm going to end it off with our last question. We ask everyone this, but I was curious, what is one piece of advice you heard in your career that you still haven't forgot to this day that keeps you going, that you want to share with us and our audience?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think it's to stay curious and keep learning. I think the best, first, that's important to me because I feel like that's when I'm the most humbled, mm-hmm. is when I think I have it all together and when I think mm-hmm. I have it all figured out, and then someone hits me with something I didn't know mm-hmm. or with something I hadn't heard of or even thought about. And I think that the best leaders are the ones that recognize that they don't have all the answers and that they don't know mm-hmm. everything and that they are continuously trying to learn. Mm-hmm. And I say that to our interns. I'm like, this is going to be a learning experience for you, but I hope that we learn from you as well.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that are getting the newest information. They're the ones that are going to be the next line of consumers and the next generation of people that we're going to work with or work for. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important, is to stay curious, always seeking answers to questions, always wanting to learn, because I truly believe that the best leaders are the ones that are continuously learning about their industry, about their team, and sometimes even about themselves, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's some advice that has always stayed with me.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. Well,
packed it in.
Yeah, really. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.
Thanks, Angel, for joining us.
Thank you, Angel. Yeah, so
thank
much.
You so much. We had a great time.
I had a great time having a conversation with this
me
woman.
Me too.
I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. All right, everyone.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.